Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, we are joined by Mr. Paul Schwartz from the New York Post to talk about the New York football Giants. Happy Hanukkah, happy Christmas, happy holidays. Paul, how you doing?
Richard, yes, happy holidays to you too. I'm doing great. It's the very festive time of the year, and for the Giants the last several years, it's a time to be not planning the playoffs and possibly looking for new coaches and things. So it's not the most festive holiday season around the Giants, is it?
Yeah, that's a sad thing. You know, when football season ends last weekend of December, maybe the first weekend of January, and, you know, all the holiday festivities. And, you know, coaches are looking over their shoulder knowing the end is near. And even though they won't admit it and they have a stiff upper lip and, you know, talk about the future, I think Pat Shurmur's got to know is, I think, did you say it that, Carlo, you have to answer for Santino?
I did say that.
Was that your line?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for reading. Yes. That was a line in today's New York Post. Look, you have to answer for your transgressions, right? And, that look, they've won two in a row. Maybe they upset the Eagles on Sunday, but that 9-game losing streak cost them the season, and Pat Shurmur is going to have to answer for several of those games. Not all of them, but let's face it, they lost some bad games to some very mediocre teams, and you know, I believe the Giants ownership will look at that and say some of it has to do with coaching.
Yeah, and Shurmur seems to be a good guy. The team hasn't quit on him or anything like that. But I think you and I have talked about that before, where even if players are kind of, you know, mailing it in, they know that their future depends on it, whether it's with the Giants or another team. So mostly every player is going to, you know, play hard and try to win. You know, organizations may say, oh, yeah, we're going to tank for a certain player or something, but team players don't and coaches don't.
No, they don't. And you know what, Richard? It's a problem because the Giants have become good losers, right? Very, very. Mm-hmm. It fits like you know, the slippers that people get around the holidays, right? It fits nice and snug. There's not a lot of controversy around this team. Players play pretty hard. Nobody talks out against the coaches. It's almost an accepted way of life around the Giants, right? There's not kicking and screaming. You know, look, Saquon Barkley he talks every week when they lose about how hard it is to lose, but no one's throwing temper tantrums. You know, guys come in and out of the lineup. They don't complain. Look, for goodness sakes, Eli Manning, you know, the great Eli Manning, the two-time Super Bowl champion, was benched after 2 weeks and didn't say a peep and looked, you know, so happy when Daniel Jones was playing well. You know, very, very harmonious situation with the Giants, but they're losing, and you know, that's a problem. You know, the acceptance of losing is they don't accept it, but they're not fighting it hard enough, and they have to start fighting losing harder than they have been.
Well, interesting, Paul, because is that a perception from the outside that the players accept it and don't care enough, or are they just not showing it? In other words, I think when Gettleman came in, he wanted to change the culture. You know, you had some malcontents, some people who weren't happy, some guys that spoke up a lot, and those guys are gone. I mean, obviously, Beckham is the number one culprit there, I suppose. So you don't have a lot of fire on this team. And I guess what you're saying is they need that. They need guys like that who will just, you know, speak up and say things that might get them in trouble once in a while?
Well, first of all, they need better players. But, you know, we all know that. But they look, if you look at this roster, Richard, right, everyone thinks, okay, the Giants are a storied franchise. They have two Super Bowls, right? You know, I think, look, when you look in this city, what is the best moment of the past decade? It happened very early in the decade, right? The Giants beating mm-hmm. the Patriots for the second time after the 2011 season. After that, it's been pretty slim pickings in the whole city on every sport. You know, that's the only championship, right? So it's not that long ago. But when you look at this team, who are the Giants? Who are the Giants that say, will go and look in the mirror and say, you know what, we're letting this, the brand down. We're letting this great franchise down. Sterling Shepard has been here since 2016. That's it. Eli Manning has been marginalized. He's a backup. Zach Diassi, the long snapper, is on injured reserve. So next year, you're going to have a situation where the only player, Sterling Shepard, he never even played for Tom Coughlin, right? You know, it seems like Tom Coughlin coached his team a couple of minutes ago, and yet it's all new. So when I walk into that locker room, Richard, and I say, okay, I need someone to give me some perspective on what it was like to win with this team, there's nobody there, and that's the problem.
Yeah, and nobody that came in from another team that's got that kind of pedigree either, I guess.
Not much. Nate Solder. You know, Nate Solder's won a Super Bowl with the Patriots. But, you know, Golden Tate hasn't had a lot of great success in the league. Mike Remmers has had a little success here and there. But, you know, look, it has to be homegrown. They tried in 2016 to buy a defense, right? Brought in mercenaries. They were really good for 1 year. That's how long it took. That's how long it lasted, and that was it. So you need to build. You know, that's why they call it rebuilding. You don't just do it on the fly. Drafts and smart free agency and smart coaching. And the Giants have been lacking in too many areas for, you know, what, this will be the sixth out of the seventh year they have a losing record. It's just not acceptable.
Yeah, and so you think Shermer is pretty much done for, but Gettleman stays? Is that the tea leaves?
That's what I would think right now, Richard. I think everything is subject to change, and there is some feeling inside the organization that perhaps a total clean slate is necessary, you know, everything. But I don't think it's going to be that drastic. I feel, you know, pretty strongly that the coaching staff will be changed. I really think that after that, you know what it was, Richard? It was not one game. It was, if I would point to what the demise of Pat Shermer was, it was falling behind 17-0. To the Cardinals at home. Not good. So many mistakes the next week at Detroit, non-playoff team. The Jet game, losing to the Jets the way they did. The Jets were really struggling them. The Giants were struggling. The owners don't want to lose to the Jets. You know, they're business partners, but they're, you know, it's like Hyman Roth and the Corleones.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they're business partners, but don't turn your back. The Bears game was a game that they could have won. They scored 14 points. And then a couple of weeks ago, the Eagle game, where they had a lead, and the Eagles were really struggling and really banged up. You know, these are games that just will resonate with ownership that, as I said before, they look at those games and say, we didn't need to win all of them, but we should have won a couple of those games. Now you're sitting with 6 wins. Maybe if you can beat the Eagles at 7 wins, now we can talk about some tangible signs of progress instead of this behind-the-scenes progress that Pat Shermer talks about.
Yeah, and we're talking to Paul Schwartz of the Post. And, you know, the cornerbacks, I mean, I saw Ballantyne, after giving up a touchdown pass, smiling and coming off the field, and or was it a pass interference penalty? I forget what it was. But it just the optics of it just looked like, hey, you really screwed up big time here. The pass was never going to be caught. You're holding into the guy, and it's like, you know, the defensive backfield, especially now that Jenkins is gone, not that he was that good, is just atrocious at times. They're just too many wide open guys.
Well, the good thing is it's young, okay? If it's veterans and atrocious, then you have a real problem, right? Because there's no possibility of getting better. Look, if you want to be an optimist, DeAndre Baker has gotten better. I mean, don't you agree with that? He's gotten better. He was really bad in the beginning. He did not look like a first-round draft pick. I think there were definite questions about his maturity and his attention to detail and his professionalism. But the Giants feel he's not there yet with any of those things, but he's gotten better. His play on the field has gotten better, so you see glimpses. Sam Beal is a tremendous athletic specimen. Now, he started much later than DeAndre Baker because he's been hurt. I think I see something there. You know, I'm not sure what. Corey Ballantyne, look, is a low-round draft pick from a small school, and, you know, he might not be a player, or he might be a player, but he doesn't, you know, too soon to tell, but there's nothing I see in him that says moving forward, oh, he's going to be a player for them. You have Julian Love, another rookie playing safety, shows some things. Look, this is the bed they choose to make with this defensive backfield. You know, Antoine Bethea is a 13-year veteran. He's past his prime. There's no question about that. Jabril Peppers got hurt. He added all up, and it's a very, very leaky situation back there.
Yeah, but Golden has looked pretty good.
Yes, and that's Dave Gettleman's best signing. You know, very cheap, double-digit sacks. Look, it's semantics when you talk of him. I mean, he is an outside linebacker, but he's really like a defensive end because they play a 3-4. The first linebacker to get double-digit sacks for the Giants since Lawrence Taylor. Okay.
Wow.
Now, he's not Lawrence Taylor, but
no.
and because he plays a different position, it's a little misleading. You know, if they played a 3-4 when O.C. Umenyora was playing there, he would have been the linebacker that had double-digit sacks. So, but no, and the one thing about Marcus Golden that's a problem is now he's a free agent. So has he priced himself out of the Giants market? You know, he's going to want some nice money. I don't think crazy money, but he's got double-digit sacks. So he's going to want to be paid like that, and he did exactly what players want to do coming off an injury, sign a one-year deal, prove it contract. He's proven it. He'll get paid.
Yeah, he'll get his money. Whither go Eli? I mean, does he even know at this point what he wants to do, you think?
Oh, I think he does. I'm of the opinion that I would be very surprised if Eli ever plays again after this year. I think he will retire. I don't think he has any real appetite to play for another team. You know what, Richard? He loves the Giants, right? He's out in Hoboken, right, hanging out with guys who are 15 years younger than him after a game he didn't play in. He loves it. You know, he loves everything about it. Now, what he really loves most is to play. Right. And, you know, he loves the preparation. He loves the camaraderie. He loves studying. He loves figuring out the game plan and then putting it into effect on the field on the weekend. He doesn't get to do that anymore. I don't think I know that he's a smart guy. He knows he feels he can still play, but I don't know if he still feels he can play at a high enough level. I don't think, put it this way, I don't think on Monday, on Baggy Day after the season, he will say, I'm retiring. I think he'll give it some time. He may flirt looking around as a free agent with some opportunities. Eli Manning is not the kind of guy who's going to, you're not going to retire. You talking on the radio or me writing in the New York Post is not going to retire Eli Manning. He's going to retire on his terms when he wants to, but I think he will.
Does he stay in the game somehow? I mean, is he a broadcast possibility? Is he a coach? Is, you know, can he let go of football entirely and go cold turkey on it?
I think there is very little to no chance he stays in the game because he is a player. He is not going to be a broadcaster because he wouldn't be good at it. He's very witty and very funny and very smart, but I just don't think he wants to do that. He's got four kids. He's going to stay in New Jersey. He definitely doesn't want to coach. I mean, look, the guy's making $250 million in his career. He's not getting up at 6 in the morning and going to study tape of the Bears. He's just not doing that. I think Peyton is a different animal. He's a different cat. You know, he wants to go into ownership or be a John Elway. I don't think Eli Manning is going to do a whole heck of a lot of anything. I think he'll do some charitable stuff. He'll do some business stuff. He'll make some money. He'll be, I think, like a ambassador for the Giants in some way, shape, or form. I think he'll retire in very good terms with the Giants. I'm sure of that. He's not bitter about this. He was very disappointed they benched him after two games. He thought he had more time, but he's come to grips with that. And, you know, I think Eli Manning is when he leaves, you're not going to see a whole heck of a lot of him for a long time.
Wow. Okay. Well, Paul, a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on Christmas Eve. And keep us posted. I'm sure lots of stuff is going to happen next week.
Unfortunately, when you have losing situations, a lot of stuff happens after the season, and most of it is not good. But thanks, Richard. Happy holidays.
Okay, Paul Schwartz from The Post.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores. Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.